And our gospel reading for this morning is from the 20th chapter of John, starting with verse 19. You can follow on the screen or get out your Bible apps or whatever works best for you. And starting with verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. So today, we launch into a very exciting venture. Welcome one another. And the why for this venture? Well, on the surface, we need to do some updating of our facility and repairs so that we can communicate what it means to be welcoming people in Jesus Christ. But there's more, and we're going to get to that more every week as we hear about that more through the focus of the week and this Bible marker that you have here that you can take home. There's a theme and a Bible verse as planned by our spiritual life team. And this week, our theme verse is the verse for the entire campaign, as James mentioned to you, Romans 15:7. If you could read it along with me, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Let's do that again. "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Thank you. Now, many people tell me, and it's true, Lord of Life has a naturally welcoming spirit. And for instance, on Good Friday, I got one note and two emails from people who had met a woman who visited at the noon service. That many people, they were concerned that she feel welcomed here. And she was so impressed, in fact, that she decided to bring her whole family back for the 7 o'clock Good Friday service. How do you like that? And on Easter Sunday, another one of our visitors was hearing about the welcoming center that we're proposing up front here. And she said this, her quote is on here, "If any congregation would make good use of a welcome center, Lord of Life is it." Yeah. She too felt that warm welcome that is natural to Lord of Life. And most of you know, and it will be spelled out in this brochure that we're asking you to pick up right after worship, right at the tables back here. They have A through D and et cetera, et cetera. Just pull in there and they'll get that for you so that we can save money on our mailing. Within it, there's a vision for this campaign that fits our whole mission and vision. And I'm going to put it this way just to refresh some of this for you. What if we had a space where, like parents of Sunday school kids, on Sunday could grab a Frappuccino or a mocha latte served by our youth group right here on site and rob Starbucks of some of their Sunday morning, you know, business, right? And at the same time, they could be supporting the youth mission trips. And what if there are Sunday newspapers scattered around and comfortable places to sit, and our newly trained welcoming ministers could get acquainted without being pushy, you know. And suppose, as they read their paper, they could see the screen out there in the new Welcome Center broadcasting the worship service. And some week, they got so curious, they decided to pop into the sanctuary at the 9:50 service. Wouldn't that be something? Or what if attached to that worship space, we had this updated fellowship hall with a room for large seminars on Sundays, dances, volleyball leagues maybe, or art shows, or a concert series, like perhaps Peter Mayer, if you know who he is, the lead guitarist from Jimmy Buffett, who comes every couple times a year, I believe, to the pavilion. At any rate, I don't know if you knew this, but he's a Lutheran preacher's kid, and he has a small group that goes around and writes and teaches pop Christian music and teaches congregations how to sing pop Christian music that has good theology. Really, he would come and do that for us one of his trips to the Woodlands. Or what if we had and really functioned as a good serving kitchen, warming ovens and all, with easy storage space. You know, do you know that kitchen probably is the most used room in the office all week? Everybody uses that kitchen. Or what if we didn't have to worry about the fire marshal showing up and kicking us out of the sanctuary on Sunday, like last Sunday, because, well, we have instruments parked illegally all over inside the sanctuary here. You know, we had to have the timpani right in front of that exit because there was no other place to put them. And we've got all this growing ministry here. Wow. Well, or what if the sanctuary had hard surface floors, and this is one I'd love to see. Some of you will go, yuck, cup holders in the pews. How'd that be? There you go. There's some coffee drinkers out there. I don't know if that one would win, but... Well, at any rate, or what if every worshiper felt welcomed even though our parking lot's small, and because we had these tremendous park-and-ride ministers who could pick them up and bring them here and give them their first taste of welcome to Lord of Life? Oh, that's right. We already have that, don't we? In fact, I invite you to tear that thing off if you're interested in being part of that park-and-ride ministry. It's kind of fun. And another one, what if we had our mortgage paid off and we were able to spend an additional $82,000 a year in our budget for other ministry projects besides paying for debt? Well, I think we've got a pretty well thought out plan, you guys, as a congregation. We've decided on it together, and I think it's going to be really cool to watch this unfold once we make our commitments. But you know what? There's much more, much, much more to welcoming ministry than just how our building looks here and how our building fits our true spirit as a congregation. So let me get theological a little bit. The true why of expanding our ministry of welcome? When we welcome others, whose welcome is it? Well, it's Jesus' welcome. If I can get myself to move here. There we go. Jesus, welcome. I don't know if any of you have seen this old picture of Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts, calling us to welcome him into our hearts. And by the way, John reminded me this morning, there's no door knob on the outside of this door. You can only get it by coming in, by opening it from the inside. But also in our gospel reading today, Jesus doesn't wait for an invitation. I mean, he breaks through locked doors, and there he is, standing in their midst, the risen Christ. Peace be with you, he says. He didn't even wait for those disciples hiding out for fear and depression and despair and gloom. Just stepped right in there, seeking them, welcoming them into a life lived on an entirely different plane than they had ever experienced before. And Thomas, a few days later, showing up for him as well. You know, it's hard to say how many times Jesus showed up. The Gospel of John says there's too many to write about in one book. I think some of us, we really need that. It's hard to say how many times it took before it really sunk in for those disciples. But he invited them into this life of forgiveness, freedom, courage, and a life of welcoming others to what they had already experienced in Jesus. Guess what? That's not our welcome. That's Jesus' welcome. The same welcome we hear about when Jesus is confronted by some well-meaning religious leaders that day, when they said, "Here's this woman, she was caught in adultery. Our law says that she has to be stoned to death. What do you say, Jesus?" And there's Jesus, if you remember the story. He kind of looks like he's scribbling in the sand down there by this woman. And some people think he was scribbling the names of some of those accusers because they had sinned pretty publicly themselves. Maybe their names were getting written in the sand. And then he says quietly, "Okay, so let the one among you who is without sin cast the first stone." That's not our welcome. That's Jesus' welcome. The same Jesus who said, "Let the little children come unto me. Do not forbid them, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven." That's not our welcome. That's Jesus' welcome, isn't it? This Jesus who religious leaders were constantly complaining about, this fellow welcomes sinners and actually eats with them. You know, they said that because he'd gone to this wine and cheese reception at Matthew the tax collector's house where all the high rollers and their girlfriends had showed up. You know, there he was in the midst of them. That wasn't our welcome. That was Jesus' welcome there. You know, sometimes are we any different than those religious leaders? Bless their hearts. Sometimes we want to exclude people as well, you know. Recently, I was walking through the sanctuary out on a quiet afternoon. I'd been getting something in the sacristy, and there was a young man right in the back there crying and praying out loud to God. And so I wanted to leave him alone for a while so he could pray. But after a while, I just decided, I went and sat down next to him, and I said, "You want to talk?" And he just poured out his whole life story to me. His life had just come crashing down. He told me how he had lost his job and the oil price drop, and then three of his, died within 6 months, and his spouse had a life-threatening sickness, and then just the day before he showed up here, he'd crashed his car while he was drunk driving because he was trying to cope with his stress. So here's this man, a lapsed Christian who's wondering where God is in the mess of his life, sitting right back there in the back pew. You know, I don't hear this very often because Lord of Life is a pretty welcoming place. But sometimes I hear people say, "We don't want Lord of Life to grow." Or even, "We don't want more people involved in our particular ministry because maybe..." Who knows why? But do you realize when we say something like that, we're saying, we don't want people like that young man who showed up in the back pew to be supported and feel the presence of God in his life. And let me ask you, is that the welcome of Jesus? What if Jesus said to you and me, "Listen, your sins are just way over the top. There's no hope for you. You're not welcome." Imagine Jesus was saying that to you. But you know better, don't you? Jesus welcomes sinners, every one of us. So who are we to turn someone else away from the welcome of Jesus? It's not our welcome. It's Jesus' welcome. And you know what? As a result, over 100 people come and join us at Lord of Life every year because it's Jesus' welcome that they experience through us. Maybe you've heard this simple definition of evangelism before. Evangelism is simply this: one hungry person telling another hungry person where to find the bread. I like that one. One hungry person telling another hungry person where to find the bread. That's evangelism, short and sweet. And if as a result of us doing that, Lord of Life grows as a result, that's God's business. But then it becomes our business, doesn't it? To manage that growth as best as we can, for instance, by providing the best space we can afford where people can come and grow in faith, be centered in Christ, and learn to serve God's world with love. I invite you to take a closer look at that bookmark in here. Did everybody get one of these, by the way? Hopefully you did. Take a look. Take one of these home, put it in your favorite reading book this week. And on the one side, each week, you'll see that there's going to be the Bible verse of the week. It's on the front. And then there's a little short prayer, so short you could memorize it if you liked. Invite you to use that this week. And then turn it over, and there's a spiritual practice first, and then a welcoming practice. So the spiritual practice, you're invited to hold open house in your heart for all people and all things. Practice receptiveness toward what is before you. Say, I welcome everything that comes to me today to be my teacher, healer, or encourager. Try that a little bit each morning. And then here's a practice you can do right today. Reach out to someone after worship that you've maybe seen before but have never met. Introduce yourself and then introduce them to somebody else that you know. Making the connections. Well, whether it's our building communicating it or our hospitality proving it. Whose welcome is it? It's not our welcome. It's whose? What? And all God's people say,